That's why it was healed. But he was revealing more than the invisible kingdom of light. He was revealing the non-existence of the material world. The Christ walking the earth in the image called Jesus was revealing the non-existence of the material world because it could be changed, changed. He was changing our material concept within our own brain. And the supreme demonstration of the non-reality of matter was the crucifixion. You think you're crucifying matter, but you're not crucifying matter. There is no matter to crucify. That's what he was demonstrating. If there was matter to crucify, he'd be dead. He was revealing there is no matter here. And I'll prove it by letting you think you're crucifying it. And you find you can't hold it. You can't hold it because there's no matter here to hold. The revelation that matter does not exist but is in the brain as a mental experience is necessary for everyone here who wishes to work toward the moment of translation instead of death. It's just something you have to do. And when you can understand it enough to say, yes, yes, I can see that matter is mental, that God is light, and God is omnipresent, there is no matter. If we are being told that the world of matter has no existence, it is not my kingdom, and my kingdom is all there is. Is there any real argument about it if you believe the Bible? My kingdom is light, and it's not this world. And yet my kingdom is all there is. In fact, my kingdom is within you. We just hadn't taken it to mean that there was no matter, but that's what it means. Now, when you have accepted this, and I'm sure we... more meditation on the subject, you'll not only accept it, but you'll understand that this is how you get rid of your excess baggage. This is how you drop your material concepts. There's no matter to have a concept about. I can't call him a fool or a scoundrel. I can't call this one a thief. I can't call that one an enemy. There's no matter there. That was a concept within my brain, borrowed from the world mind. Now, when you can accept this, then here's what you've got to do. Past the talking stage, it's the doing. If there is no matter, then there is no external world, is there? And if there is no external matter, but it's all in the brain, you have to do something. You have to practice the knowledge that there's no external material anything. And that is a very rigorous training program, a discipline. It's part of the training program for your own survival. There is no external tree, no external person. As a matter of fact, there are many, many, many no's. No matter means that there are no bombs and no bullets, no babies born and no adults dying, no diseases, no errors, no evils, no lacks, no limitations. No thieves, no murderers. Any acceptance of any of these is an acceptance of the non-power of God, of the non-reality of spirit, instead of the non-reality of matter. You see, you can't go both ways. It's got to be spirit or matter. Now look, God is spirit, and spirit does not create matter. It's that simple, isn't it? Spirit does not create matter. Spirit creates of its own substance. Spirit is spirit, flesh is flesh. the flesh is revealed as the non-existence. We've got this little 3-ounce layer of membranes in the head, and the whole world is in there. That's where you're seeing it, in that little amphitheater called the brain. Everything you see out there is only in there. It's one of the supreme unknown illusions of the world. The Christ reveals itself by healing every brain appearance that we have and changing that brain appearance to another one. Doing things we thought were great miracles. And they are, because in the brain we think that these things are happening out there. We don't realize it's simply our brain concept has been changed. Nothing else. How? Because the spirit is higher than the mind. And one with the spirit is the majority. Now, when you start practicing that there's no external world, you're forced into the stillness with your eyes open, too. You've got to look at everything. And you make this a training program. You spend time every day doing it. You look at the outside world or anything you want to pick and recognize that it isn't there. It's in your brain. You do it again and again and again and again. It isn't there. It's in your brain. And your brain is receiving that image from the world mind. It's an actual telecast from the world mind to your brain. And that's where you see it, on the screen of your brain. You think, look at that beautiful forest. It smells so heavenly. And all the diseases in the world and all the sufferings in the world exist in your brain. The earthquakes, the volcanoes, you see their group activities, the group mind. Now, this is the turning around that spiritual living requires. This is the training program, the adjustment period. But if you still believed in birth from a physical womb, you wouldn't be ready for this. Now you're walking the earth. You're knowing that time is the underlying substance on which the illusions are built, and there is no time. And when you know that, there's no place for forms to evolve in time. And when you know there's no matter, you're really coming close to the point where you can get yourself out of this little finite time capsule. And you can look at beautiful things and ugly things, good things and bad things, and realize they're only your mental snapshots. You're making a quick Polaroid of everything you see, and it's in your developed brain, and that's the only place it is. And your neighbor's doing the same thing. And you're believing these Polaroids. You're thinking you're really seeing something out there. And you are projecting it within your own brain in such a... You see, the you in the brain that's looking at it is smaller than the thing it's looking at, usually. The thing of you that's looking within the brain is smaller than the tree it seems to think is so big. But all of that is just little mini-film inside you. That's why they were able to crucify nothing. And it walked the earth. It was found by Mary in the garden. Nothing was crucified. It all happened in the brain of those who were looking at eye charts. Each one saw his concept of what was happening, but it wasn't happening except in their brains. And when Christ comes by and looks at what everyone thinks is happening, the cripple, the halt, the maimed, the blind, and realizes it's all in their brains, isn't impressed, isn't mesmerized. There's no hypnosis in Christ. There's no human brain in Christ to be hypnotized. When you're told, have you that mind that was in Christ Jesus, it's to teach you that all you see in the world is in your brain, and that's the only place the whole world is in your brain. Every bit. Just a little mini microfilm. Cosmic TV. You may not accept it. You may. If you go out with that and try to prove it out, you'll find ways to prove it. Every healing is really proof of it when you analyze it. And ultimately you see that this is what Enoch realized wasn't there. That's what Moses realized wasn't there. What Joshua realized wasn't there. What the prophets were speaking about, it's all in the brain. It isn't there. And all that is in the brain, the Pacific Ocean, the galaxies, the universes, the continents, it doesn't matter. And they're all in a brain that isn't there. There's no brain. For the brain itself is matter. You see, it's illusion piled upon illusion, and underneath all illusions is the illusion of time. Now, from this, there's another you that is being born, and that's part of the rebirth. This other you that comes into focus, that you begin to sense is there, is not this physical form, nor is it in this physical form. And you begin to see why you are the infinite Spirit of God. Why you must be reborn of the Spirit. How you are really returning to that which you never departed from. Now, it is not enough to learn that there's no external world. I know from my experience that I've got to practice it continuously. And that means that you walk this earth, and in your quiet moments, before you are involved with the world, you check off that which you know is the truth within your own consciousness. There is no matter. So if I hear a knock on the door, who's knocking? And on what door? Where is it happening? It's happening within the world brain, and it comes to my brain. That's where it's happening. When the Christ walks through a wall, he's teaching you that in your brain you can't walk through a wall because the wall is out there. But the Christ doesn't have a wall out there. The Christ isn't using a brain that sees a wall out there. So it walks through what we think is a wall, but it's not walking through a wall. It's walking through a wall that's in our brain. It's not walking on water. It's walking through water that's in our brain. It's not raising Lazarus from the dead. It's recognizing the Christ there where we are seeing in our brain a dead Lazarus. And as it touches our consciousness within us, we think Lazarus out there is coming from the dead, but our consciousness within has been touched by the Christ, which sees a living instead of a dead. All of this is very subtle. And it's not really conversational. It's something that must be felt. Felt within your kingdom. And so, in your meditation periods, with your eyes closed, realize, what are the truths that I must know? The real, beautiful truths of the Spirit in which I am accepting the allness of God, because that's all there is God. All there is Spirit. There's nothing to flee from. No world is going to end. It can never begin. The glory before is the glory now. The birth never happened. The fall serenity never happened. The reincarnations never happened. All there is the eternal self. It is invisible. It is myself. And I am learning to live in it, walk in it, be it. I am learning to be Spirit itself. Not to become it, but to be it, because I have been it, I simply am becoming conscious that I am the living spirit. Therefore, what must I know? I'm not confined. You can't put me in time. Spirit doesn't live in time. You can't put me in space, yet I exist. Time and space only exist in the group mind, but they do not exist in me, nor I in them. They have no existence. I do not live with matter or matter with me. There is no matter. I am pure spirit. There is nothing but the spirit of Christ. And this is a quiet life, a silent life, a within life, a different life. But it is the training program. For as you live here and now in the Spirit as the Spirit, you are ready to move out of form, not into death, but into the living kingdom of Spirit. And that is the whole purpose of the Christ message and the whole purpose of the Christ mission. To prepare everyone who can accept it to walk consciously in the Spirit of God here now before that moment. And then to make that transition as a step up, a progression into that which you have been trained to live in right here and now. That's what it's all about. When I think of the energy and time and effort we waste in other things which are equally difficult, that could be put into this which on the face of it seems to be almost impossible. Instead of building a physical empire, we can build our spiritual reality. And I think of all the energies we've wasted and all the detours we've taken and all the heartaches we've suffered, when all the while we were simply living in the treadmill of an illusion. There's no one to blame for it. You can't even turn around and say, somebody made a mistake. There's no somebody. There is only the Spirit of God. And our suffering is that we do not know that that is all there is. And we try to be something else. We try to be what cannot exist. And that non-existence makes it suffering. Being perfect as your Father, who is Spirit, means be Spirit. His Spirit and your Spirit, I and the Father are that Spirit. This more external, I think you'll find in the Sermon on the Mount some interesting things about it. Let's look at this passage in Matthew 5:29. It will bolster your courage a little bit. Don't say, why do I offend thee? Pluck it up. Answer for me. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Now, I want you to see that in conjunction with there is no external world. Let's say you're afraid of something. There's a force that you feel is going to attack you in some way. You know, like a lot of people move out of California, they're afraid that it's going to be an earthquake right on their property or something like that. And there are other forces that we're all afraid of. Now, this is phrased then to say that if there is some outside evil you are afraid of, that is coming through your eye. It comes to you as an atom bomb or any kind of pollution or some kind of radioactivity, and you're afraid of it, naturally, because you're a physical being, you think. And now this is coming to your eye. You see the possibility. You see that something physical is going to attack you. Well, it doesn't end there. It sets up a whole chain reaction. That fear does something to the rest of you. Your brain now is activated by that fear. And so your whole body is cast into hell because your eyes see something that you fear. So he says, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. Cast it on the ground. What does he mean? He's telling you to look at that which is offending your eye and realize it isn't there. Plug it out. There is no external anything to fear. And there is no I. There is only the light of God here and the light of God there through cosmic mind appearing as this and that. But there is only the light of God. Now, can you stand in that consciousness that only the light of God is here and there? That I am the one spirit without seeing? That I am seamless spirit? That omnipresence is the truth? That omnipotence is the truth? That God knows everything about the spirit and there's nothing else to know about? And that is maintained. And therefore, that threat to me here is a lie. And I have plucked it out. I have cast it from me. And now the rest of me is not endangered by that fear. That is the meaning of there is no external world. It isn't there. But you're always going to think there's an external world there if you've got you here. That's the problem. The external world is only external to this non-existent form. If it was born in the womb, it would be here. If it is the Spirit of God invisible, it's not here, and there can be nothing external to it. Now this, if by my offending, was meant to alert you to the fact that external objects are only images in the eye, images in the mind. They are not external material things, they are mental images that you feel. And it's not only the eye. The five kings that rule us. And so he gives you another example to give you the idea that it includes all of the senses, not just the physical eye. And so the next one is, and if thy right hand offendeth, you see, this is a sense of touch. If thy right hand offendeth, cast it off. Cut it off. And cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. What member is going to perish? Your sense of touch must perish. You see? The sense of touch, the perishing of the sense of touch, is your non-belief in the validity of the sense of touch. The sense of touch is only good in the material sense universe. When you're trying to be a spiritual astronaut, you have to see that whatever you touch is non-reality. And that which you use to touch it with is non-reality. If they amputate this arm, we've lost nothing. You don't have a physical body. And this must be a total understanding. You have a body of light, and the physical body that you think you have is a mental concept you entertain about your invisible body of light. Now, you've got to practice that, and these are some of the authorities to tell you that you've got to practice it. If thy right eye, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. Let's get rid of the external interference and get rid of the belief that the eye is seeing the truth. You don't have to take the eye and do anything to it. It's the belief in the validity, in the reality of the eye and what it seems to see, which must be cast out. The same with the sense of touch. And it uses these two senses to tell you that all senses are the same. All senses are unaware of the presence of God, which is all that is present. And again, something we didn't recognize, to teach us that we are manufacturing an image in our own mind. we think is out there. Listen. Listen to this form of self-hypnosis which we didn't recognize once. Today, this is Sermon on the Mount, the 7th chapter, 3rd verse on to the 5th. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? You wouldn't have thought of that normally as telling you that that which you're seeing in your own eye is just the image that you call outside matter, but that's what it's telling you. For how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye, thou hypocrite? You see, it doesn't mean that you're a hypocrite at all. It's trying to awaken you to the fact, the truth, that if you were present at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, you would have believed it happened. And you would have believed if he ever got out of that burial tomb that some great visitation of God had done it. You would have seen the outer experience as an outer event. And it all would have happened. There would have been a beam in your eye. First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Before you try to remove the sense of the other fellow's illusion, get rid of your own sense of illusion. Now, this is as within as we're going to go, probably, during this series. But we don't meet often enough so that I can just pass this by and let you not have this particular truth until we might meet again. I mean, this is the time. And again, like I say, if a person doesn't follow it, at least we've fulfilled our share of the responsibility of exposing that individual to the truth. And always, I think, to individuals who are here to find as much truth as we can share together. Now, we have learned that there was no external world. It didn't do me much good. Until I learned that I have to do something about it. And I can't do it when I'm crossing 42nd Street and Times Square unless I've done it in the sanctity of my own consciousness first. When you're getting jostled in the crowd, it's pretty hard to know the non-existence of it. Unless you have first, within the sanctity of your own being, repeatedly rested in the knowledge that the Word of God is truth. And when God says, my kingdom is not of this world, that means spirit is not matter. And when God says, I am the only, and beside me there is no other, that means matter is not, and that's that. You go by the word of God. And if matter is not, spirit is all, then that which I see as matter is not. And that which I see from is not. Because I am not material being either. And this is quiet work that you've got to do. And it's nothing you can do with anyone else. It's just your own job. You really can't even sit in meditation with other people on this. It's an individual job. Shut thy closet. Close the door. And pray to the Father. Meaning, live in the spiritual awareness that there's nothing but the Spirit. Shut thy closet. Enter thy closet. My closet is the soul, isn't it? Shut the door of the mind. You see, now this is all enabling you to face the world mind. The world mind is presenting these images. And they're saying, look, there's a tree, there's a forest, there's a fire. There's a house burning down. There's a man drowning. Well, now, don't get the idea that you're to stand and watch the man drown and say he's not there. Go out and swim and get him, or throw something to him. And if you can't swim, get down and meditate instantly. But the point is to know the non-reality of that which you see. Don't forget, he doesn't know he's not there. Someone's got to help him. You don't wash your hand of the world. You shed your invisible light through the world. Someone once helped you to get where you are. Many people have helped you to get where you are. And many of them were invisible. Now then, this is self-hypnosis. When our whole body, through our brain, reacts to some outside thing which we call a tree falling down, or lightning striking a house, or a boy drowning, or a ship wrecking, being wrecked, or a gale blowing through, or a tornado. These all seem very real, but they're group consciousness made manifest. And even when the air is polluted, that's group consciousness. There's no outer pollution in the air until there is mental pollution in a group somewhere. That mental pollution becomes the outer pollution of the air or the sea. You're being taken out of all mental pollution. You're being cleansed by the inner Christ, which says, all matter is a form of pollution because there is no matter in the kingdom of heaven. You must be cleansed of the belief that matter is. You only are in the kingdom of God as invisible spirit. If you go over the Sermon on the Mount, removing from it all of the obvious words and changing them over into the soul language meanings, you'll find you have unearthed the secret of immortality. We're opening the seventh chapter again, the 21st verse. Let everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But who that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And so if you thought that just by studying the Infinite Way or listening to the tapes or meditating three times a day, in some way you would become an angel, it isn't the way. But if you're willing to accept that you are already an angel, that's the way. Because you must now live in the kingdom of spirit, which is already perfect. And you don't start on the bottom and climb up. You start, there is no bottom to climb up. The kingdom of spirit is the same all the way through, perfect. Be perfect. And that's the only place you can be perfect, in the kingdom of spirit. Therefore, where are you if you are spirit? You're in the kingdom of heaven now. And if you're not, you have a material consciousness and you won't give it up. You're unwilling to. You're afraid to give up that material consciousness. But if you are spirit and you know it, you must confess that I am now in the kingdom of heaven, which is the kingdom of spirit. And it has no opposite. And therefore, whatever you see, whatever you touch, whatever you feel, whatever you think that is not in the kingdom of spirit is obviously an illusion. And that is what I meant by stay in your thought lane. Don't cross over that line into the other thought lane. Stay in the kingdom of spirit. And that's your thought lane. And when a material idea hits your brain, pluck it out. Cast it from you, because otherwise the rest of your members will perish. Now that's the rigorous discipline of one who wishes to not only live here and now in the kingdom of heaven to the best of their ability, but to continue in the kingdom of heaven after the moment of death instead of reincarnating into the mirage of flesh. You will find that with all that we've said so far, you have a good working plan and, in fact, a very thorough foundation in the divine plan that here and now you can and must live in the kingdom of God or perish. And not by saying, "I love God." You live in the kingdom of God. Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," but only he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And the Father's will, you know, is that you be spirit. There are other ways to maintain your consciousness of spirit. The ones that I would impress upon you at this moment are that nothing can enter your mind if you don't want it to. And if you are alert, you have the opportunity to treat your mind just as you would your living room. You either had an interior decorated to it or you did it, but you allowed to go into that room only the things you wanted there. You got to treat your mind the same way. Don't let the interior decorator be the world mind. If that's what decorates your mind, you're going to have spirit and matter all the time. Let God be your interior decorator. And let your consciousness of God's presence be that which stands at the door of your mind saying to everything that wants to come in, "Show me your ID card. I want to see who you are before you enter my mind. Are you matter? Out. No place for you. Pluck it out before it enters. I have no matter in my mind, or I am defiling the truth." Your spirit, enter. Remember Joel's joke. He was telling us a great secret with a joke. You've all heard it a million times, but every time I hear it, it sounds different. It has a new meaning. The fellow who goes up to heaven. And I guess I've told it 100 times, he told it 500 times. And they let him in. They say, "Come back next year." He comes back next year, and who are you? And there's a long line of affiliations, every club he belongs to, and the inventory of bank account, various degrees he's earned. I'm probably amplifying the joke to emphasize the point. He tells who, how important it is. And again, they say, "Sorry, come back next year." Finally, in fact, the third time, a little more humble, he knocks. Wants to get into heaven. They say, "Who's there?" And his answer there was Joel's way of telling us something beautiful. When they say to him this time, the third time, "Who's there?" He says, "Thou art." They say, "Buddha." He has removed all personal sense. Now, Joel could have said he knew he wasn't born in the womb. He knew he was not physical being. He knew there was no material world. He could have said all that, but he said it in just a little joke. And that's what he was saying. When you know that where you are is the Spirit of God, you're in heaven. Nothing is necessary. Well, that is quite an assignment. Now, when you know there is no external world, you're also knowing that it is not void. That's important. Don't get the idea nothing is there. Remember that. What you see isn't there, but God is. The light of your being is there because you're going to finally come to the conclusion that not the tree is there, but you are. Not the ocean is there, but you are. You're going to come to the conclusion that there isn't a multiplicity of different separate lights. There's only one seamless light. And that's what all this is driving at, that you are the everywhere light of God. And you can't be it if all these things are there. That which you were fearing is invisibly the light of God. If you knew that, you wouldn't fear it. And when you know that, you know that that which seems to be there has no power because it isn't there. That's a very developed consciousness that can come to the place where the bird chirps and you say, sweet little bird, even he doesn't know that myself is his self. Right there, I am. Right everywhere, I am. I, the light of God, am everywhere. And you come to the one self which you couldn't come to if you had put at every 100 feet another tree, another rock, another stream. It's all your invisible light. And your invisible light, because of its infinite nature, has to come to your human sense as a succession of little things made visible in time, moving past you, until you come out of this little eggshell of sensation and fret your way through to it and come into the fullness of your being right here and now. And you and the kingdom of God are one invisible spirit. Then you'll find death is above. The evils of the world are diminished for you. As a reality, they don't touch the light of being. There's no duality there for it to touch. Let's meditate, and I want you to go through this exercise with me of seeing no external world. Take a very harsh physical thing, seemingly in pain, and look in your mind's eye at that one in pain and see that that is not the divine image of God. And God made all in God's divine image. Therefore, what are you looking at? You're looking at something very specifically in your mind, and you know that right now because that's where you're imagining it. So now transfer that to the knowledge that this specific someone in your mind is actually a person out there in pain. And pretend that you're looking at that person in pain and feel the same truth. This person out there is not the image of God in pain. And if the person out there is not the image of God, and God only created the image of God, and I'm looking, therefore, at what God did not create. Where is it? Is it out there? If God didn't create that, if that is not the divine image out there, because God did not create it, it doesn't exist out there. Where is it? That out there is in my brain, seemingly out there. And then look at the same person out there without the pain. A minute ago, that person was in pain. Was that person now the divine image because the pain is gone? The pain may come back. Can the divine image be in pain at any time? You must see that flesh is not the divine image. Flesh is flesh, not spirit. And flesh is a mental substance that you entertain. It's in your brain, even though out there it's 5'2". In your brain it may be less than a kilogram, but out there it seems to be. You've got a projector within you. It doesn't project out there, it just projects within. It amplifies. But where that person in pain seems to be, believe this, the invisible divine image is. And it there, that invisible divine image there that you cannot see, all the way up to where you seem to be, is all one invisible divine image. And beyond you, back as far as you can go, that divine image continues, and all of it, in every direction, is the only divine image there is, and that is you. Wherever you look, it is all your invisible self. That is why we are called joint heirs in Christ. That's a way of saying we are all that one Christ. We're not separate ones in the one. We are that one. We're not particles. We're not divisions. We're not parts or pieces. One is your name. And whenever you don't deny the one invisible divine life, you're in the tree of life, and the fruits of the tree flow forth. Now you feel love, and you feel joy, and you feel gratitude. You feel these things pushing out of you into the world. You feel that you're like the sun shining. When you are in the realization that I am the one invisible light of the universe, and there's no matter in it, a few minutes of this, a few minutes again, a few minutes more, and one day, matter walks up to you, slaps you on the back, and you don't feel the hand. A threat comes out of the sky, and you look at it, and you know it isn't there. The world reports this evil and that evil, and you say, in the Spirit of God, which is all there is, only perfection exists. There are no people in heaven. There are no dying babies in heaven. There's no family in heaven. And heaven is where you are. When we meet again, tomorrow or later today, what is today? This is it, isn't it? My Lord, this is Sunday. Well, our next meeting is going to be very quick, sir. I didn't realize how soon we'd be meeting again. I thought we'd meet tomorrow again. You see, I haven't been really doing anything.